Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and as always, I'm joined by my excellent panel from Youngstown, Ohio, America's fastest shrinking city, author, activist, and teacher, Sam Murphy. Sam, welcome.
You didn't call me a barkeeper, did you?
No, I didn't. I called you a teacher.
Okay, good. All right,
although I suspect the, in actual fact, the two professions run hand in hand.
Some people would probably not argue that point with you one bit, but it's a pleasure to be here. We sprung ahead like everybody else, except for Jack Young in Arizona and other people. And I'm looking for a great show and sun shining, and hopefully we'll, as the caller said last week, continue to make some people think and not get pissed off at each other.
Right. And the City of Angels, we are once again joined by Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, it is great to talk to you again.
Simon, it is my pleasure. Hope everyone's having a great weekend.
Oh, we're having a fine weekend. And, hopefully I can keep you and Sam apart. Yeah, so you don't actually kill each other on air.
Well, you know, we're actually just shooting Nerf arrows, nothing too major.
Right. And from the Garden State, we have my good friend Bill Conrad. Bill, great to have you on the program again.
It's great to be here. By the way, we've had just wonderful spring weather these last 2 days. It's nothing to compare with yours, but it was nice to not have a snowy weekend.
Unfortunately, our good friend Peter Haven can't make it today. I got an email from him a couple of hours ago. Work calls. But, yeah, that's the joys of being an attorney. So let's get started. Last week, I was kind of surprised that more of the panel didn't want to jump into the Ukraine situation. And I'm wondering if you all might have changed your minds by the events this week. It seems to me that Tsar Putin, is just rumbling on. Naval blockade. Let's go sink a couple of ships in front of a port, and make sure Ukraine can't get their navy out. Yeah, just minor things like that. And Sam, I'll start with you. Are you more excited and upset over Tsar Putin this week?
I'm not upset at all. I mean, what can I do? He doesn't take my phone calls. I'm really mad about that. I was really upset. I don't think we got enough players that Hillary Clinton came out swinging. I think she was in the West Coast on a fundraising or whatever she's doing. And she happened to hit the nail right on the head about Putin. And I want to applaud her for it. And it seemed not to get much press at all. I don't know what was more important this week. When she declared, she declared Putin's actions of what's going on right now to what Hitler did in the Sudetenland. And she ended up having to apologize for it, and I thought that was amazing because Hillary Clinton was right on the button. She's having they call it a referendum. Back then they called it a plebiscite. When Hitler, and it was the same thing. Hitler went in, they created a, he took advantage of something going on in the Sudetenland. He had to protect German-speaking Czech citizens at that point. And they went in, and that was the beginning of World War II. And she was right on, spot on. I don't know why she backed down. To me, that was a huge issue. And and she was right. And Putin's doing the exact same thing. I'm protecting Russians. We're going to have a referendum. You know, and then after he does that, you can bet the onslaughts of Ukraine's going to happen, because that's what happened in 1939. Hitler took the Sudetenland, and then he annexed Austria, and that's what looks like Putin's going to do. I think the rest of the world is really not going to do much, because I don't think they want to start a thermonuclear war, be the one who does it over a country. And the other thing is, who's got the $38 billion to loan Ukraine when three-quarters of that money goes back to Russia? Because Ukraine owes Russia a boatload of money. So the Ukrainian new government wants money to help, you know, to help fight Russia, but the money that they would get would go back to Russia.
Right.
You know, as far as the financial thing goes. And I just think, he's the big bear on the block, and he's playing a dangerous game. But I think everyone's powerless to stand up to him, and it is reminiscent of history repeating itself all over again. And hope America stays out of it. And if that's what these people vote to do, and that's what they vote to do, we've got enough. Blood and treasure has been spent since 9/11 to repair all the problems in the world, and we haven't come close to even doing that.
Gary. Do you want to, update your comments from last week?
No. I honestly don't. I wish I could add something really smart here and intelligent. It doesn't concern me. I really don't know the history, certainly as well as Sam does, but It doesn't animate me at all. This is not our concern. It's certainly from an American interest position, or from American morality position. We don't have a leg to stand on. I think George W. kind of ruined that for a generation or two. We just don't have any leg to stand on as far as whether or not we have a right to be outraged if. We just don't have any right to be outraged when we did something, in my view, much more egregious with Iraq. So, no, I think it will play out the way it plays out. And I think the other thing is, just to end on this part, is I think one of the lessons hopefully we've learned as a country is that when you invade another country, It's usually just a brutal economic, and it just really doesn't work out. So I'm not too concerned.
And Bill, I'm not sure how much you're into world politics. Do you have any thoughts on the situation in the Crimea?
Probably not too much, but one of the things I found was kind of interesting is that the International Monetary Fund is trying to work with Ukraine to help support the government economic program. That was one of the stories that I read that was like, well, it almost sounds like they're throwing good money at bad at this point. With so many things about to change, how is that really going to help? So, and I don't understand, American can step in to help another country and then we walk away and then it collapses. And Russia's coming in and taking over another country and they're going to bring them back into their fold. So, how can we have incredible criticism against something that if we didn't like the way a country was going, we intervene as well? It's just kind of where I am. I'm interested to see how this plays out, or whether they're going to be part of the EU at some point, or whether Russia's going to win. You know, that's hard to know. That's it.
Sam, I'm enjoying the comments that basically say no comment.
What do you mean no comment? I mean, I think all three of us have just said, hey, let's keep our let's stay out of it. I mean, I think all three people have, you know, the panel have weighed in on that. I mean, Simon, I can't believe you're beating the drums of war. You know, I mean, I think we're all sick of it. You know, having a son in the military who's on a mission to Paraguay, and that's all I know right now, is, you know, scares the heck out of me, you know, and it always does when he's in his, he and his friends and his, you know, and his, what he belongs to, always sent on these missions all over the world. He's a Phoenix Raven, which is the, they provide air security for the Navy SEAL teams and special ops. And, you know, they pick them up, drop them off, and got to stay there, wait for them. But anyway, what we're doing in Paraguay, I don't know. Maybe there's another neo, maybe there's an old Nazi they're going to pick up. But
that's what I must be getting pretty damn old.
You're going to get, I said to him, you're going to get Eichmann's kid, you know. So anyway, he goes, but, you know, they don't. You know, I just don't see any of us wanting to get involved in that. And I think that is a, I want to applaud my fellow panelists on, you know, for saying that, because, you know, we need to stay out of all this stuff. I mean, we're bled dry. We're financially broke. The war profiteers have done great. The warmongers have done great. You know, and that is so far removed away from us. I mean, that is Russia's, that's Russia's best interest. I would understand if Canada invaded Maine, we'd have to do something. Or Mexico invaded Arizona. Yeah, you know, then we have to do something. Or, you know, then it's in our national interest to take notice of what's going on and then deal with it. But enough of this nation building. It's done nothing since the end of World War II. We've got nothing but trouble. Have we not, guys? I mean, Korea's still a mess. Why? We never got out of Korea. We're still involved with that whack job over there, who's ever in charge of it. We're still involved in Vietnam. We got kicked out of Vietnam. But, you know, all those other things, you know, we just, wherever we've gone, trouble has followed.
We have Iraq and Afghanistan.
They're doing really good there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you really want to see, and I think we talked about this before Gary came on, Bill, if we remember, I don't even know, Bill, were you on a Labor Day when the current administration in bed with some neocons were considering sending a couple cruise missiles, not with Ted Cruz on them, would have been nice, though, to Syria? And we all stood up, those on the panel that Sunday on Labor Day, we were all against that. You know, and luckily, luckily that turned out not to be a dragging us into another war at that point. And I just don't think we, over there, I mean, do you really want to go eyeball to eyeball and bring back the Cold War? Because that's what's going to happen if we do this. I don't even want to see a hot war. I want to see the coldest war possible, which is to stay away from it.
Go ahead, Simon.
No. Off to you.
Well, the thing that really kind of just, I don't know, chafes me a bit is on the right, you have these people that are just so shrill. John McCain, he's just, I think, completely lost his mind. And Lindsey Graham and, you know, Bill Kristol and all these guys that were just so wrong.
You're talking to neocons.
I'm talking about the neocons.
The right-wingers, the warmongers who teamed up, who wanted to go to war with Obama and carry off to Syria.
It was the guys from the New American Century. But I'm not convinced that necessarily McCain was a neocon, but we don't need to talk about that. It's just that these people are so shrill and so wrong in the Dick Cheney's of the world and all these people. And it's just like, you know, they talk with this arrogance and this certainty of what needs to be done. And I just can't believe that they're still listened to. It's kind of like if I if I'm like, you know, the guy who ran Enron, the whatever is Lay or something, who ran Enron and just keeps on telling you how to run a business, it's just so bizarre to me that these people still have a platform that they're on, you know, the Sunday shows. You see Bill Kristol. It's like, are you kidding me? It's really just a joke. So that's just, it's just, that just makes my eyes roll. Aside from, I still don't think we should do anything, but it just makes my eyes roll that people on the right are just like, I don't know. They just have this big thing to swing their dicks around and see who's bigger.
You know,
I'm not, can we say that on blog? Can we say that on Blog Talk Radio there, Simon?
Oh, absolutely. We are okay. Not under FCC regulation.
My apologies.
What I was going to say is I really don't like any wars. You know, rarely do you achieve anything useful. Although, if I had to pick a favorite war, it would be the Brits and Argentina, you know, fighting over the Falkland Islands. To the best of my knowledge, you know, they blew up a few sheep, and someone got a bruise on their thumb from an unknown accident. But, you know, it was all harmless. And, you know, a member of the royal family got to fly around in a helicopter. Yeah, life is good. I mean, you know, that's the way war should be. You know, not boots on the ground and, you know, lives being lost. Let's just blow up sheep.
Wasn't that last week? Oh, that was the cow. I'm sorry. Never mind. Go ahead. Sorry, Simon.
Okay.
I think you got something. You got to fix that.
I don't. Let's move on. I think we have solved the, you know, the war problem in, you know, around the globe. There was a fascinating story that, you know, came under my radar this week, or came onto my radar this week. Massachusetts and the upskirt photo debacle. I'm assuming you all know what an upskirt photo is.
Yes.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Why have people been taking pictures of your skirts?
Nice.
Well, that's why I don't wear kilts anymore, you know?
Anyway, it started off with a court ruling. A gentleman was hauled into court and accused of taking upskirt photos of women in, I believe it was a shopping mall, but I could be wrong. He got away scot-free because the law read that, you know, taking unauthorized photographs of nude or semi-nude people was definitely illegal. However, someone wearing a skirt and, you know, presumably underwear, was not deemed to be you know, nude or semi-nude. Now, this created quite a kerfuffle, and the Massachusetts House voted in a new bill the very next day, banning the practice. So if you're heading to Massachusetts, don't go and take obscure photos. Did any of you read that story?
No. I'm really not into looking up people's skirts. I mean, with all the porn at your fingertips, who the heck would want to go do something like that? But then again, when I was living in Massachusetts before I moved back to Ohio after I got out of college, there was a guy who was busted for sniffing bicycle seats. So Massachusetts, the home of the the scions of liberalism, great colleges, all that stuff, the Boston Red Sox, and all the wonderful things that state has to offer, it boggled my mind that this actually made news. That you can't take. I mean, isn't it common sense? You're not supposed to take pictures of girls. Little girls' underpants. You know, we weren't supposed to do. We were little boys. We weren't allowed to do. And I'm 53. Okay, that was a no-no. Shouldn't been, but it was a no-no. But sharing pictures of little girls' underpants was not good. However, being a guy who's a historian, Gary, you probably call me a crazy man. You'd be right. But anyway, we all remember where the phrase beaver shot comes from, right?
Right.
Right, okay. Sportscasters would be in the stands at a obviously a sporting event. A young lady, a woman, would have her legs uncrossed. They'd get a shot. Some were underwear, some didn't, whatever. And the reporters would then somehow tell the other reporters with the code, hey, there's a beaver shot, section C08. And, you know, everybody would run down there and look under the stands. So that's where that phrase came from. So it's been around for probably since Adam and Eve, right? it's just mind-boggling that in today's world someone would run around and do that. Then post it on the Internet, post it on YouTube, whatever, hoping to be famous, and obviously was because it went to court. Here we are talking about it on the show, you know what I mean? But anyway, I think anybody does something like that, it's pretty pathetic. But that someone would do that, and I'm glad he got caught, and I hope he gets in a lot of trouble. And the worst thing they could do to a guy like that is take his cell phones away from him, right?
Right.
You can't take girls' underpants.
Right.
Okay, I'm done.
In fact, there was an air marshal that got caught several months ago doing the same thing on an airplane. Gary, I want to get your input because this is more in your area of professional expertise. Do we have a whole bunch of whacked out people that just want to do this kind of behavior?
I don't think we have a whole bunch of them, but I certainly look, it's the old news adage that if it bleeds, it leads. But this is just a proctologist view of society when this makes such huge headlines. This guy is obviously a sick man, has this perversion, and he acts out on it, which is really. Are we okay? Can everyone?
I think it's Bill playing with his speakers. Bill, stop it! Stop.
I'm sorry.
Upskirt pictures of your of your speakers.
I apologize for that. I just I'm sorry.
Okay, Gary.
I did read the article. But are you done?
Well, I was just about done. The last thing I will say is that I want to be the guy that develops the shoes with the camera on top of the, and this has a built-in camera, because I promise you that's going to be developed if it hasn't already. Because, you know, when there's a need, someone will put a camera on top of their shoe, try to camouflage it, and put it on the girl's skirts. I think the worst thing for this guy, I don't know what his name is, John Roberts or something, whatever, his picture and his name is national news. So if this guy, you know, his life is ruined, basically. If ever he goes for a job, anyone ever Googles him, you're going to see a picture of this guy with upskirting. So, oh, my God. I mean, this poor, sick man who obviously needs a lot of help, his life is basically ruined. I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he's probably also barred from all of the local shopping malls.
Yeah, his life, I mean, could you imagine family and friends and all the people who know you? I mean, listen, we all have our dark little secrets, but do you want your darkest secret put on national news and all over the internet? I mean, that is really, as far as punishment goes, I would rather serve like 3 months in jail than have, you know, my picture spread all over the news this way.
Just with your darkest secret.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
But, you know, if it was something great, then you'd want your name spread all over the news.
Yes, of course.
Right, okay. Just wanted to get that.
I thought that was fun.
So anytime someone Googles this guy, I think he's in big trouble.
Yeah. Oh. Imagine going on a date and the girl Googles you. That's hilarious.
Of course, I guess, unless she's an exhibitionist, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty funny.
Bill, you were about to give us your thoughts on upskirt photos.
Well, aside from the just unbelievable that they're out there, but I did find on the website that you can actually buy a shoe spy camera that you can it's on a sneaker. We've already lost the income, but, you know, maybe if we made for TV and have one of those infomercials during the middle of the night, we might still be able to sell some.
Wow.
My second thought was, from reading the article, I don't know if you've ever seen the 365 stupidest things ever said calendar, but there's the justice from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court wrote, a female passenger on a Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority trolley who is wearing a skirt, dress, or light covering these parts of her body is not a person who is partially nude, no matter what it is, or is not underneath the skirt by way of underwear or other clothing. How about that? That cleared it all up for me, you know. It left me completely baffled. But apparently, if she says that, then that must be how they figure out these laws.
You know, it boggles my mind. You know, I'm still not quite sure. Well, I guess the toe cam is the way to go.
you know, and it doesn't, like, these guys, I consider them tortured. Like I never felt, like, I never begrudged Jerry Sandusky's appetites, like, for example. Like, this guy, you know, he was cursed with being sexually attracted to young boys. And it wasn't like one day I'm sure he woke up and said, oh, boy, I really want to start doing this when I don't have an appetite for it. So, you know, he had this horrible appetite, and he's obviously a very sick and disturbed man. But what really bothers me about and why he should rot in jail is because he acted on them. So, you know, there's two things. You know, you could sit there and you could have this really overwhelming desire and the sick perversion to act, you know, to look at this or what Sandusky did. But to act it out is what makes you a monster. So it's, you know, these people just need to sublimate their sickness, go on porn sites, get therapy, take medication. It's the acting out that is really the monstrous thing. You know, it's really quite awful to do that to a person, to invade them that way. I mean, we can make fun of it, but if you had a daughter and someone did that, it's kind of just an invasion, and it kind of robbed innocence a little bit.
Well, wasn't there also some people that had put cameras in their bathrooms so that when their friends would come over that they had cameras there, something
sure.
like that?
Yeah, there's all kinds of sickness.
All that weird stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and that's what I'm saying. If it's the action, it's not the appetite that bothers me, really. It's just the action that I find so abhorrent.
Actually, you mentioned Sandusky. I can't pull the article up right this moment, but there was something in the news this week that involved the guy that ratted him out, the red-haired guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
I
don't know what he said, but I know what he's talking about.
Right. Oh, I know what it was. It was his brother who was on an internet chat site rabbiting away, and question came up, you know, would Sandusky ever make head coach? And the reply was, no way. He likes to play with young boys in the shower. Did you catch that one, Sam?
No.
Right.
Sorry. I was too busy reading about the yo-yo would like to look up golf skirts. Sorry.
Well, let's face it, you know, diddling little boys in the shower, yeah, really doesn't sound like much fun, you know, but, you know, sneaker cams, you know, now we're talking. Okay, I think we've had enough of this subject. Let's talk about the Love Fest, the annual Love Fest known as CPAC. Sam, you're a CPAC fan. What did you take away from the 3 days of love-in?
Well, you know, I don't watch all of it. I'm not a gavel-to-gavel guy like Gary, you know, watching it so that he can come on here and beat me up over the head with all these guys who I don't remember and I don't support. But, you know, it's like you know, running for president is a 24-hour day, 365-day year job, you know, especially after, you know, the first, especially when there's going to be a non-incumbent in office. So these guys have been running, and men and women, both parties, all looking to, you know, raise money, got big donor cards, you know, promise all the jobs in the world, promise everybody things that they want, and they got to start. And it starts at CPAC. And, you know, CPAC's, you know, then there'll be a CPAC next year, too, you know. And so, that's when the primaries, and to give the speeches and lay down stuff. You know, are these polls important? Yeah, it is, because it gets, whether you're Republicans or Democrats, it gives you the, you got to raise money. The mother's milk, you got to have the honey and milk, which is money in politics. And I hate it. I think it's, you know, one of the, there was a guy here locally who I'm, the ex-mayor of Youngstown, who I'm in a lawsuit with, he just got nailed Friday for giving a $4,000 cash donation. He can't remember where he got the money. and who and how he gave it, and it's just very strange. And you know, it's only $4,000, but it's the cash that's in politics at even local levels is disgusting. And at this national level, that's what they need. They got to win. Rand Paul now won. He was probably the most of some of the speeches I've seen bits and pieces of as I've searched the internet today, as I do every Sunday before the show, and a little talking head was the most moderate. And he is because he's a libertarian first, then he is a Republican. But they, when I read on CNN and Fox and MSNBC's websites, as I do on every Sunday, they all said the one same thing. They keep trying to make him... They want to make him a kooky libertarian like they did his dad. You know, and then all three of them all edited. The one thing with him is that he's trying to moderate his stance on foreign policy in order to get with the neocons, in order to get the big money. And that's what they all say. And I read what he had to say, and it's the same sort of thing. You know, we talked about earlier in the show, it's about Russia. It's, you know, we've got to know our friends, we've got to know our enemies. We have to be ready to stand up to defend our country if we're attacked. Not being out there with all these entangling alliances and treaties and whatnot. It's just like Jefferson said, friends with all means you're going to have friends with all nations, trade with all nations. You know, why not? I mean, I find it just absolutely appalling that we borrow money from communist China, communism, our mortal enemy. It probably makes Lindsey Graham pee his pants when he hears the word communism. But we don't trade with Cuba, and it's 80 miles off our coast. And the country's fall, and it would be a great tourism. It would be great that our sugar prices would go down. We'd have Havana cigars. People like to smoke cigars. It would probably be great, but we don't do anything with them. Americans can't travel there unless they jump through hoops and whatnot. But we borrow money from China. Why not be friends with all? It would solve a lot of wars and a lot of this and that if we were trading with everybody and friends with everybody. But and that's what, that part of the doctrine of liberty, that's the foreign policy of being a libertarian first. And it does not sit well with the neocons on the right and the big government people on the left because they're both bought and sold by the corporations that want to continue these wars and continue the profiteering from the moneymaker. You know, there's a lot of money in that. A lot of money in war and a lot more money in defense. I think we all know that our country, the United States of America, spends more money on defense than all the other nations in the world combined. That's pretty scary.
All right, but you nailed it on the head. More money on defense. Now, that's not really true. We spend more money on offense.
Okay. Yeah, offense, defense, whatever I'm saying. But meanwhile, I'm glad Rand Paul won, and I'm really sorry, Simon, that your man, the Cruisinator, lost. But I think he's losing more and more. The best thing Rand Paul could want is Cruz to keep talking. Because every time he talks, he puts his foot in his mouth. And, and you look at that, that's good. Although I do not think Rand Paul will win the nomination. I think he will bring, like his father brought, great debate and different issues up during the last presidential campaign. Rightfully so, went after Rick Santorum and exposed him for what he is and was and still is. Rand Paul will be muscled out of the way by the comeback kid already, Chris Christie, and Zeb Bush, as I've said many times. Rand Paul is not establishment enough to take to get the big huge money, the big corporate money to be a presidential candidate. He scares them. He does want change. My God, he wants to audit, open the books on the Fed. Can you imagine what would happen if that ever really happened? We saw who lobbied who for what money since the Fed was invented in 1913. There'd be a lot of people would be a revolution when people saw what was going on in the insider information. Rand Paul stands for that. Wanted to audit the Fed. I mean, just like his dad did, and things of that nature. And big money isn't going to get behind him. I think he'll make he's going to make some solid inroads, and maybe even change. And if he stays as a senator and gets some other people elected, maybe he'll be able to do that. He's against NSA. He's for the First Amendment. I think a lot of young people are going to be galvanized to him. He'll be great. He's actually doing something that very few other Republicans are. He's talking about real issues and trying to change the debate. I mean, did you ever think the Republican Party, the CPAC, Gary, you'll love this. There were commentators attacking him for what he wore when he gave his keynote speech. Do you know what he had on?
No.
He had blue jeans, a button-down shirt, and a blue blazer and a tie. And they thought it was disrespectful that he wore blue jeans. I mean, who cares what he's talking about? Oh, my God, he had a pair of blue jeans on. I'm trying to think, how many people wear blue jeans in this country? How stupid are you, you know? But so what? He wore a coat and tie and this and that. You know, now we have to go back. Let's attack people by what they dress. Now some of these people, because they're so afraid of him, they have to attack him for what he dresses, you know, how he dresses and this and that. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'm glad he won. I think he's the best thing out of the Republican, happened to the Republican Party in years, as was his dad, and it's good. And he's not into the politics of personal attack and this and that, and all the other ones are. I mean, if you heard all the other people through that bits and pieces of speeches I heard, it's the same old crap. Go after Obamacare. Go after stuff that it's here. It's got, and they continue to shoot those from that far right continue to shoot themselves in the foot because they think attacking Obama is going to get them elected. It's not. That's why Rand Paul got so much of the vote there. He's got some new ideas that resonate and try to expand the Republican Party base desperate need of change.
Gary, I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, your views on CPAC, and feel free to talk about the subjects that Sam has brought up.
Well, I'm going to leave his lawsuit alone, the $4,000 lawsuit, so excuse that one. But look, it's what. I guess I should not be shocked, but what still shocks me to this day is how stupid and how absolutely stupid the Republican Party has become. And it's basically, it's just all about the red meat, and it has nothing – it's really about, again, whose dick is the biggest. It's just like who is the most hateful, who is the most bellicose. Who has the most certainty? And it's just trying to convince all these people who really are just, what seems to be happening these days is all that they do on the right is they just feel more than anybody else. They just feel, they're just gigantic feelers. And, they feel that Obamacare, is horrid, right? Because we don't want the government to tell us about our health care. And they feel that. Oh, they don't think it, because I promise you, if you're a member of Blue Cross or United or Pacific, you just call in a call center somewhere in the middle of nowhere, or maybe India or what have you, and they're going to tell you what operation you could have or procedure you could have. And their profit, they don't want to give you the, it's just people don't think. And people vote against their interests, and these Republicans are just listening to these people that talk about how they feel. You know, the other part that just is surprising me is this bromance that they're having with Putin. And again, I think if the Republicans had their way, they would have a dictator. They would have a Ronald Reagan dictator. They would have a Sean Hannity dictator, a Rush Limbaugh dictator, and thinking, we know better. This is the way it's going to be done. We're obstructionists. And I'm looking, I swear, since, for the last 15 years, I am looking for really a highly intelligent Republican. I just am, and I just don't have it. And the CPAC is just all about red meat for what feels good.
Wait a minute, Gary. Rand Paul was not throwing out your red meat stuff there. He was talking about now. Maybe you are you for the if you're for the use of drones and the NSA, then you know he's one of your dumb Republicans. I think he's the one who's brought this to a national debate, along with even before Snowden went rogue and started telling us the truth about what's going on. You've got a senatorial candidate who's put his ass on the line, has sued the United States, the federal government, rightfully so, about the misuse.
How does he
of
put his
Fourth
ass
Amendment.
On the line for that?
If
what do you mean put his ass on
it?
He made a lawsuit.
Against him.
How many people do you know sue the
government? Go after the wall to do all that.
I'm sure plenty do.
No, I do too, but not as a senator. He's taking a stance. Now, why is
well,
that a bad
putting,
thing?
I didn't say it was a bad thing. I'm not
well,
putting
I mean, you,
he's
but
not
you,
putting,
but you just blew a paint, broad paintbrush and said, I'm looking for a new republic. They just threw red meat out there. Rand Paul
I am not a Rand Paul fan at all.
And that's okay, obviously. But you cannot paint.
Rand Paul has a thought or two. That's fine. Listen, as someone who's an independent,
but don't you
for
think
example,
the NSA is an issue?
No, I don't.
You support drone killing by
yes.
foreigners without
yes.
the process of law.
Yes. Yes.
You support spying on American cell phones and whatnot without due process.
I don't
of
know.
Law.
I don't know.
But I
honestly don't know. I honestly don't know how.
Do you support
the
gathering of megadata all around
yes.
from private people's computers by
yes.
an invisible court?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
No wonder. Hey, Zig Heil. You know, I mean, you know.
Well, you know, it's so easy. It's so funny how people just are so comfortable throwing around Hitler metaphors all the time. I honestly don't know, Sam. I honestly don't know.
How
so I'm not saying
like
this.
A smart man? You want your private conversation?
I am not saying this with a lot of conviction.
Do you follow what the NSA has been doing?
I don't have a problem with drones. And as far as megadata, if I could be sure that it wasn't targeted towards people just because of prurient interest, it would be fine.
It is targeted towards that. They've already proven that. Snowden's already released millions of documents that have been reported all across the world. They've been under the Obama administration. They've been spying on fellow foreign leaders, allies. They even picked up the Chancellor of Germany because they wanted.
Again, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I do.
People are spying on us. People are spying on us all
the
time.
You don't believe in the Fourth Amendment? Yes or no?
The Fourth Amendment does not hold true for Merkel.
Yes, it does.
She's not a citizen.
That were passed. You don't interfere with that breaks all sorts of international law.
I am sorry. I think spying on other world leaders is ubiquitous.
But
you brought her up.
What about your own citizens? You support an indivisible court without a due process.
Sam, you aren't listening to me.
You said that to me.
No, I didn't. I'll say it again. I said the concept is fine if there's a lot of overview. Probably what happened with Snowden was a good thing, and I'm not against that. I'm for a lot more oversight. A lot more oversight, but the idea this is above my pay grade because I really don't know exactly what they do. I don't know how they do it, and I don't really know what benefits it has. Some things I know where the water's edge is in my intelligence and my awareness of what's going on, and some things I just want to abdicate to the government that they know what they're doing, that they actually But these are career politicians, the people in the NSA. They hopefully are non-political, non-Republican, non-Democratic. And the idea of it, I don't know what data they're getting. I honestly don't know.
I cannot believe the naivete that you just said.
Well, you can call it naivete.
These people have already been proven. Forget about spying on Merkel. Putting together things to make you, they could turn your enemy. First of all, they are political, otherwise they wouldn't be working in the NSA, and their job is to try to spy and put things together, and pretty soon, just like throughout history, you're putting, because of you're getting rid of, you're allowing secret courts, you're allowing non sign a blanket warrant. Do you know why the Fourth Amendment was founded by the Founding Fathers? Because the Brits used to go around and get blanket warrants and get whole towns and round them all up. So the Founding Fathers said, we can't do that. We can't allow to have blanket warrants that cast a giant net over everyone because everyone's not guilty. And then
I'm not defending the NSA.
Sure,
listening
like
to your to your calls to your buddy and talking about the waitress down at the local diner and how you want to have sex with her. I'm not defending that.
But that's what they do, Gary. That's all they're interested
in.
They
want
to know everything about everybody. And we've given them that power because there will be no oversight.
If that's what they do, then that is wrong. I'm not convinced, just because you say that, the listening to you talk to your buddy about the local waitress, I'm not convinced that they do that.
Okay, I am. You're not. We'll go. Let's see what the other people have to say. Is that fair?
Well, there's only one other person, but two other people.
Simon.
Go ahead, guys.
Okay. I have lots to say, but I'm going to ask Bill to start this off. Bill, are we right or are we wrong?
Again, from one of our other shows, my biggest concern is that they're going to store all kinds of information about us. It's going to be sitting out there, and the question becomes, any unscrupulous person that either hacks it or someone that works internally, or they need to prove a point about something that is hot and political at the time, they're going to pull up the information and they're going to use it against us. This is sort of like just waiting for you to step out of line. And they're going to turn on us. There's no reason for them to accumulate all this information waiting for a what-if situation to come and haul us away because I have a personal conviction that they decide they want to outlaw in the government. I just don't think that's the right thing. Either spending all this money and housing all this data out there in Nevada and just waiting for the time to blossom for them to come after me, something that's kind of benign right now, but becomes important at a later moment, they're gonna come after us. It's just, I'm not going to leave myself vulnerable. And how do you do that? That's my concern. It's all wrong.
It's simple. You dump your cell phone. You dump your computer.
Right.
Only talk face to face with people in a remote area where you cannot possibly be eavesdropped on. it's not practical.
No, but even so, even if you had like a spy satellite, if you have two people that meet together, perhaps they're trying to resolve a problem. Well, you know, you put the right spin on it and suddenly it's a conspiracy against, of trying to sort out, what was going to just be a sorting out of a disagreement becomes a conspiracy that you're plotting together. It's crazy.
The potential for high-tech McCarthyism is rampant. And
absolutely.
And that's what's going to happen if we continue to go unchecked with secret courts and allow the Constitution, which is a very important it's a topic that no one pays attention to anymore, it seems to me. They just do what they do is they invent new laws or new ways to circumvent the Constitution and go to the left and go to the right and go do an end around, to use a football analogy, and they come up with all sorts of excuses to do what they're going to do. And it's built, information is power. And they're going to have it all. It's nice to, we have the right to pick up, to secure in our homes, and to pick up the phone, to talk about that waitress down the street. The one you should worry about is your wife. That's the one you should have to be worried about. We have the right to, not the government, we have the right to not have secret courts meetings. Who appoints these judges? How are they appointed? Whoever appoints them, obviously, is so they make some more money, is going to have the power to, as what they say to Bill, is, hey, that's a conspiracy behind that rock. Those people got to go. That's a communist. You're this, you're that. And pretty soon, it was just like the 50s all over again, except it's going to be worse when they start swooping us all up. And, yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe there was a second gunman at the Grassy Knoll. I believe a lot more people knew about Watergate and things of that nature. And I believe this is the most dangerous thing to come down the pike in a long, long time. And I'm glad Rand Paul and other people have brought it where it belongs. In the Supreme Court of the United States, to be cited, is it a violation of the Fourth Amendment? I believe it will unfortunately take years to play out, as Peter pointed out a couple weeks ago, but there needs to be. And to me and others, but the young people who do more stuff on their phone than I can even think about, very worried about it because, that's how we communicate nowadays. You know, to me, Gary, it is like opening up everybody's mail. I never, ever worried that my local postal office was opening our mail.
I completely look at it. It isn't that I disagree with anything that you're saying, but when you posit it that way, and it's just like there's no oversight and things are going on. Of course, I'm making some suppositions, and probably I actually think that what happened with Snowden was a good thing. Because my guess is that we really do need to refine this. So there is a lot of the valid concerns that people have would be allayed. That the data would be, if it's not used, it would be deleted completely. These things are very very concerning to me as well. I am just saying that from a national security perspective in the world that we live in. If the smartest people who have the most information are saying this is one of the essential tools we have in combating the idea of something really serious, I don't want to just take the whole thing and just completely shut it down just yet. I honestly don't know enough, so I'm not coming here. Usually when I'm talking about things, I'm usually coming, at least from my pea brain, a real solid position where I really feel on it and smart about it. I really don't feel real smart about this. I'm not really like I know, but I'm making some suppositions that if there's a lot of oversight and a lot of ways to take back some of the things that are really valid concerns, and people smarter than I am and have a higher pay grade, they're saying this is essential, I kind of want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I think the organization ought to be wiped off the face of the earth. We already have something called the CIA. We don't need another alphabet agency to continue to potentially destroy and uproot America. It is high-tech McCarthyism. That is what we're facing, high-tech McCarthyism with this organization. Plus, we don't need it. Or get rid of the CIA or the FBI or all the other organizations we have. It's just more government oversight, and it's secret, and that scares the hell out. Whenever you've heard about those, secret, you know, it's high-tech inquisitions, and these people were in charge. And if the wrong people get it, and we know they have it, we know they've had it. We know they've been spying on us already for things. And by the way, the people, Gary, who you said, well, those that are working in there and they're making six-figure salaries, it's already been proven in the New York Times. Do you know what they do the most with their spare time? They're not looking for terrorists. They're looking to see where their spouse is dating or going. That's been proven already. The New York Times
already I am. If that's been proven, right, if that's been proven, you would hope that there would be fixes. I am not defending these kinds of things.
Only one person
that
called for a fix, and that's Rand Paul, but you don't like him.
It would be crazy for me to defend what you're saying. Like, oh, that's okay. Of course that's outrageous.
But that's what's going on. That's what led to it.
I understand. So if that's what's going on, then if I were the king of the world, I would sit there and say, let's make sure that doesn't go on, and let's put some stops in there. And if it couldn't be fixed and it couldn't be monitored, then fine. Then I would take some more drastic measures. But I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I heard you because it's going to be the huge issue in 2016. And
it's going to be a big issue.
And it's
but
plus,
I don't know.
Simon, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't Snowden still has millions and millions of more documents to expose, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure it's millions and millions,
but it's a lot.
It's a lot. And each time, you know, a bunch is released, everyone goes, whoa, I didn't know that. And it scares me. Honestly, I couldn't care less if the NSA monitors my phone traffic. I'm not plotting anything bad. But you know, there's another part to this that it makes us suddenly become a very Orwellian society. And I'm going, whoa, I don't like this. You know, this shouldn't be happening. Does anyone on the panel agree that, you know, we're moving towards an Orwellian society?
I think we're already there. What do you mean moving there? I think it's Animal Farm in 1984 mixed together, throwing a little Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World, and a couple of those other books, and put them in the grinder, and that's the type of society we are facing, if not already living in, and it's getting scarier. And you know, with your big corp, you know, the corporations are engulfing and devouring, and you know, less and less competition. You know, I'm still amazed. I'm paying. We didn't start a revolution when gasoline went up $2 a gallon. You know, and Americans have become more and more. It's just like Americans just accept everything. They're nothing, and it's the same old. You know, the major news repeats whatever Ben they want us to hear. Most people believe it. The caller said last week they stopped thinking for themselves. They want other people to think for them, and that hurts us because, as Bill, you point out, and I agree with you, when people start to, as people get dumber and dumber and ignorant and less informed, those that stay informed, those that are on blogs, those that are writing and making people think, and the Thomas Paines of now, the Jeffersons, the Platos, and all those sort of people, the people saying, hey, we have to keep an intellectual, we have to keep checks and balances out there. This is what the Constitution stands for. They're going to be singled out. They're going to be thrown in the gulag. I mean, it's happened throughout history, though, you know, and Jerry, where I come from, with Franklin had a great quote way back when about when they were talking about the Constitution and putting in the Bill of Rights. And some people didn't want to have a lot of the Bill of Rights, obviously. They had the same sort of debate. And it came down to, do you want security or do you want freedom? And Franklin said, those of you who want security and freedom, you get neither. By having security over your freedoms, you get neither. And so you're putting security, and that's what he meant. That's the fundamental issue of where we are right now, and that he said that a couple hundred years ago, that if we give up security, we'll neither have security nor freedoms. And that's a scary thing. And so I think, Simon, what you're saying is right. It is a mixture of all that, of Orwell. You know, and it's amazing he wrote that way back then, and he was writing about a tyrannical communist country. We all know what he was talking about. Stay away from what the Soviet Union and China had turned into. He didn't want the rest of the world to be like that. And that's where we all are, because I think we all agree our giant corporations, which own our political parties, they're just like, they're no different than the kings, the queens, the czars. the emperors of the past, of course they want to control everything in a society. That's how they stay on top.
Bill, move your microphone away from your mouth. It's going to sound like the soundtrack from a blue movie.
Cool. How are we now?
Okay, fine. And Gary,
can I say something?
Sure.
Well, I think that Sam is very right. My concern is that we are, we were appalled at the kind of governments that Russia was one day, and yet we've embraced that. I don't think the answer is more oversight, because now you've got the government watching itself. And we know that no matter what kind of programs the government has put out, whether it be the food stamp program, whether it be any kind of social services, whether it be even the unemployment, eventually they find out and they make the decision that it's a non-essential oversight part of the program. So people who really need help, like whether they were mental patients when the federal government decided we're not going to manage mental institutions anymore, we're going to cut the funding, and we're going to just put all these people out on the street, the same thing's going to happen with them being a watchdog against our personal information. If they do establish some kind of watchdog, we're going to have all kinds of problems with being corrupt. They're going to find out that it's not a good program for the watchdogs, and then they're going to pull the funding, and no one's going to be watching them. So I say, don't give them the opportunity to store all the information about us. Just don't let it happen. And if we don't stop it now, eventually people will become complacent. They'll have their focus on something altogether more, quote, more important, and we'll give up all of our rights. It may not be today, but I would say within 10 years, we're going to forget that that was really an issue today, and we're going to say, there's other nuts to crack. It's okay for them to know everything about us and to haul us away because they got PO'd at us.
Okay, so what is the solution? You would recommend cessation of all of this phone tapping?
Well, not all of it, but the part, if you've got a particular focus on people who are criminals, who are definitely terrorists and the watchdog, go get the court, go through due process of law, and you can tap that way, the way it's always been. Now this is, you're not just accumulating everything about everyone, because again, all it takes is for one person to get in there and become a legitimate person, and after 10 years, after he's accumulated everything, start selling your personal information to whoever. Whoever, whether it be foreign governments, whether it be other kinds of criminals, just to create a situation where they can take over your lives. It doesn't even have to be the federal government. It could just be someone that was corrupt that got into your database and suddenly everything about you is known. It just, you can't have oversight. The oversight's not going to work. It's going to fall down just like every other part of government programs that they've implemented. We can't get health care right. Eventually we might, but for now, they're going to say, you know what, trying to work out this health care stuff with government isn't going to be good, and they're going to abandon it, and they're going to go on to something else. It isn't going to work.
And Gary...
Well, that's a big statement. That's a big statement. First of all, I would say most people who use government health care love it. I think most people who use Medicare love it. But, look, the position that I'm having, obviously, it feels icky to me. And it's because when everyone comes in with these things about Soviet style and Marxism and this and that and Putin and all these things, taking your personal information, it's all horrid stuff. And it, these are things that I would never defend. And if that's the case, if that is in fact the case, then I'm in agreement with everyone on the panel. I'm just saying this is relatively new stuff. The genie is out of it's out there. Everyone's doing it. Certainly China, where the population is smarter than we are, is doing this to us in a huge way, I'm sure. And unless we, you know, we just can't sit there again and say this feels really crappy. It feels, then we become at least kind of what I rail against in the Republican idea, which this all started from CPAC, of, you know, people doing what they feel, you know, the low-hanging fruit of, they're going to take your information and they're going to, of course that's horrid, and that would be crazy for me to defend that. And if that's what's going on, then fine. Then let's go in there and gut the whole thing. I'm not sure that it can't be fixed. Obamacare, fine. It had a horrible rollout. I think in 3 or 4 years it will be beautiful, absolutely beautiful. By the way, as everyone knows, that Obamacare is a Republican Heritage Foundation position. It isn't even a liberal position. A liberal position would be universal health care, but that's tangential. The point is, give it 3 or 4 years. Give it, see what happens. Let's get more oversight. Let's see if we can fix it. Just for, you know, for people to say, we've known about this for a few months, and now that we're outraged, let's scuttlebutt the whole thing. I really don't know how helpful it is to our national security. I just don't know. And if it is, I think it would be really kind of foolish and kind of doing something that feels really good. Oh, well, this idea of they could sit there and listen to my private conversation, so I don't want it. Of course I agree with you. It's crazy for me to sit there and say, well, that's okay. It's not okay. The learning curve on this position seems to be very high right now, and I agree with the whole panel. We really have to get it right, and I think what happened with Snowden was a good thing, and we have to get it right. That's all I can say. That's my only position. I don't feel really strongly about it because I don't know, but I'm not willing from what I do know to say, let's just throw the whole thing on the ash heap. I don't know.
Okay. So Snowden, you've mentioned him a couple of times. Should we grant him amnesty?
I don't know. That's a great question, Simon. It really is a good question. Probably if he would say, I'll give you all the files back and I won't give them to anyone else, maybe. I mean, maybe we would do that. But from a moral position, I don't know. I listen to both sides, and both sides make perfect points.
Right. Yeah. You know, there are obviously always two sides to every story. Sam, would you grant amnesty to
absolutely
Snowden?
Take a tape parade, keys to the city. Absolutely. I think he's a I think he's potentially he was a Nathan Hale, because he was going to give his one life to his country, and an extension, and in a sense, he has by being a man without a country, so to speak. Guy to do that, I think he's, you know, we don't have enough whistleblowers in this country. We have so much corruption in this world, and it's very difficult to be a whistleblower because the whistleblowers get killed or ruined, or they turned out to be, their reputations are ruined, and all that sort of stuff. So it's very, the deck is usually stacked against the whistleblower, and even in corporate America, and especially in government, and we need more Snowdens, and I think we're going to get those, and, the whole thing with WikiLeaks, I think it was swept under the carpet, and the corporation and world governments have done a great job at hiding the truth from the people. The truth is a great, great weapon, but big government and big business, they don't like the truth because it topples, it threatens them, it scares them, always has. And when it gets out, it's caused revolutions, ideas. The truth and the ideas of caused revolutions, scares the hell out of the ruling elite. And Edward Snowden is a threat to them. I think he would be killed if he comes in. I'm surprised. The only reason he isn't dead is because he's in Russia. And they're protecting him. Obviously, they're probably getting some information out of that. That's, you know, that's the American way, right? Quid pro quo. So, he deserves, I wish he'd release everything else, and everything else could be out there in the open, because the only way to have a true representative republic is to have a transparent one, and we don't have one of those anymore.
And how about you, Bill? Do you view Snowden as a hero or a heretic?
I'm more towards a hero with him. I think that there were some things that he may have done that there may actually be some teeth to the compromising national security, and that he didn't consider when he stepped out there, or he really doesn't know what to do with it. I think the problem with him coming back to us is that unless he holds something back, what's to keep the feds from turning on him, you know, saying, you know what, now that you're back, we've changed our mind. You know, I mean, I don't think he's got anything to trust, because the feds sought him out like a dog, and they've tracked him and chased him. And now if he comes back, I don't think there's going to be real amnesty. I think they may say that, but the other thing is going to be political. I'm sorry, it's going to be public opinion. And the question is that if there's a load of people in the United States that find that he's more like a traitor, then that's going to compromise the strength of the government too, because so many people will talk to their politicians and say the guy's a traitor. So, you know, I think he's just screwed seven ways from Sunday at this point. I don't know how this is going to get resolved.
I can't see a way out of it. And, you know, there is no doubt in my mind the guy is a traitor. You know, when you are given the keys to, you know, secrets, they should remain secrets. And he opted not to do that. On the other hand, he unleashed a wealth of information that created, you know, some controversy and some conversation. Yeah, for that reason, yeah, I like the guy. You know, same goes for Julian Assange. I believe he's still holed up in some embassy in London. You know, WikiLeaks was not a bad concept, but you know, Assange, you know, found himself in an ugly place. Is there a solution? I don't know.
I guess the hard part to know is, you know, what was his real intention in doing what he did? Is it, you know, is it pure as the driven snow to try to let America know what's going on? Or is this his plan B or plan C because the first plans didn't work? You know, that's the question. You don't know what was in his mind.
Yes, but that's not, you know, look, if I just shoot a gun in the air because I'm celebrating and it lands on your head, doesn't matter what my intention was. But my guess is he could have done this a lot of different ways, and apparently from what I'm hearing, again, and I don't necessarily trust the talking voices that I'm hearing, is that he really did. It was apparently the biggest breach of secrets in our history, and that's pretty devastating. I'm not one of those, you know, people who are just an alarmist on everything, but for all those people that are doing the hard work of trying to work in the shadows. It's not great when someone just outs all of your tactics. It's just not great. The idea of what was going on with the NSA, I don't have a problem with that, but apparently he revealed a lot more, and that is problematic. And just because this 20-something-year-old kid thinks I'm doing it with good intentions doesn't make it okay, in my view.
Well, and put that into the collecting of the data of everybody in the world. He's letting us know that there are certain data that he has the secrets to. Again, what's to stop? There's no protection for us as American citizens for somebody to do exactly what Snowden did with your information. With information that might be potentially embarrassing, or maybe somebody can put a spin on and manipulate information that they've collected on these computers and connect dots that aren't really connected and really turn on you. So,
well, when,
just
when,
knowing,
when you say there's no protection, then I agree with you. And if there's no protection, when you say it that way, it's a statement that says something that is making a huge position that there's no protection. So if there's no protection, then you're 100% right. My position would be if there's no protection and the idea is a necessary idea, then let's see if we could put our heads together and put some protection in there. That's all that I'm saying.
Okay. If
there's no protection, you're right and I'm wrong, and of course – I'm not defending that.
And maybe I'm misstating my words. Maybe I'm saying that the potential for it to being hacked is still always going to exist. No matter what kind of security systems they've always put in, they have to continue to build stronger security system because you become lax while somebody is hacking information and redistributing it. And then when there is the leak, that's when they said, oh, we got to refine our security system. So along the way, who are the victims of the information that's been hacked during the time when things were weaker?
Yep, I agree.
Gary, I have to ask you this question. It's a bit tangential.
Sure.
I'm sure that you have lots of paper in your office. And that there's a client doctor agreement. These are very private papers. And how would you feel if every piece of paper was part of a government surveillance program?
Yeah, look, Simon, again, of course I would feel it would be devastating. And I would not want to live in a country like that. And I know that I have been living in a country like that my whole life because on some level the CIA was tapping phones and all these things all through at least my lifetime. So on some degree, I get it. And I would not want it to be done to a citizen-by-citizen basis. I think that's horrible. And the idea, let's say, for MLK, watching his phone lines, I'm not defending it. I'm really not defending this process. I don't want, you can think what you want, but it's not my position that just give the government carte blanche and say this. I think it's got to be a work in progress, and I don't know if it's needed. I don't know if China is doing this on a much larger degree than we have to keep up and see what's going on. I really don't know. I would guess that if we stop it, someone else is going to be doing it anyway. So I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I'm not defending the idea of an Orwellian society. It's abhorrent to me. I'm hopeful that there could be some kind of way that as with public oversight and public knowledge, we get more and more on it and we come up with more and more better ways to make sure that something like my records, your records, someone that's not about national security would ever be under the eyes of someone in the NSA. That would be something like apparently what they do is they take something from American to foreign or what have you with certain people, and they look for patterns in certain words. That's what I that's what my pea brain understands right now. And I would not be surprised at all if it's been in the past and in the future more invasive than that. If that's the case, I would hope there would be a way to fix that. And if not, then you have to scuttlebutt it. But it's too new. We've just been doing this recently, and the oversight has just come out. Let's see if we can fix it before we just end the whole thing.
We're going on since the 1970s. That's not too new.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The NSA has been around since the 90s. It was created.
I didn't say about the NSA. I said about gathering all our emails and phone calls on a mass level. I didn't know that we've been doing that since the 1970s. That would be a surprise to me.
That's when the NSA was created.
I didn't say that. I said that would be a surprise to me if we've been doing what we've been doing now, gathering mega data on every citizen.
Well,
I think that's been done in the last...
gathered. I mean, back then, obviously, today, back when it was first started, probably wasn't a heck of a lot of emails going around. I'm sure there were
thousands. That's what I'm saying. My guess is this is relatively new to everybody. What's happening right now?
Yeah, what's not new is the guys they're doing it under.
I understand. I'm not saying that. I think it's an evolving position of wiretaps was one thing, and then everyone was saying we could be wiretapped. Wiretaps never went out of business. They're still in business, and everyone must have been outraged when it first came out. I mean, my guess is when people heard about wiretapping come out, everyone would say, well, I'm on the phone, and like on Mayberry, you know, Sarah's listening in. You know, okay. I mean, that's horrid. But I know that in my lifetime there have been phone taps available. I would hope that there's some way that some guy who works for the department, the police department or something, who knows me personally, can't tap my phone.
The only way you're going to get that is when there's the threat of people like Edwin Snowden and others standing up for what's right when they know something's wrong.
Well, why aren't you bitching about phone taps then? Because that's been going on
as
long.
Gary, phone tap. In order to tap someone's phone, you have to go get a search warrant. A judge has to sign off on it.
Then maybe
and
we
the
should
NSA,
do that.
They don't need that. They have a
then
secret court.
Then maybe we should do that. Then maybe we should get a more stringent and more
Rand
public court.
That's what Rand Paul's lawsuit's about. But you don't think
fine,
he's a good guy.
Then we're in agreement.
Right. But it's still not going to be enough. That's what
okay,
my
well,
thing
then,
is.
Then we're not in agreement then.
We're not. We're Gary, because I believe this about our government in today's world, okay?
You want to mothball the whole thing, which is fine.
No, right,
I don't agree with that right
now. I believe
there's
no cooler tyranny than that which is perpetuated under the shield of law in the name of justice.
Sam, that is a very fundamentalist position, and I don't describe by that. I'm much more... Like, you know, to me, it's just much more complicated than that. I respect what you're saying. I just don't have enough information to know.
I've just seen too much of what I just said happen all around the world, all throughout history, and it's happening again because Simon put the good phrase on it, Orwellian. And it's all about control.
Of course it's Orwellian, but I tell you, I have not worried about phone taps in my lifetime, even though it's available.
Well,
as someone in the government who's a bad actor could tap my phone.
Go get a phone
I'm not
tap.
Worried about it.
You don't worry about it.
I don't.
You don't. Well, I don't worry about it either because we obviously don't worry about it because we're not one worthy of phone
taps. But if phone taps just came out yesterday, you would be horrified, as would I. We would both be horrified if it just came
out that there was this new technology
to tap phone calls. We would be horrified by it.
They've censored, my dad in World War II bitched about them censoring letters that went out. But you understand how, I mean. And
I'm saying.
That doesn't make it right just because one is older than the other. I don't think the age of the ability for the government to spy on its citizenry is a factor at all.
I want my government to spy on some citizens if they deem it necessary for national security. I honestly
that's like saying if we outlaw the Nazi Party, which we don't in the United States, but we believe in freedom of speech, okay? When you start outlawing these things and start making it, it makes it those type of groups actually get more powerful. The more you shine a light on the bad guys and bad women and this and that, the better it is, publicly, transparently.
What's the point? What are you making a point of?
Your point is that you don't, you were saying it just came out and this and that, and, you know, we got to do a little of the spying.
I think we have to fix the problems.
But wait a minute.
I don't think we have to mothball anything.
The problem is spying on citizens in the first place. It should be not happening. Okay?
I'm not saying I'm pro-spying on citizens. I'm not pro-spying on citizens.
Well, because, no, wait a minute. We have laws in effect for that. If you think if you're under investigation for whatever, Gary, I don't know, whatever you've done, okay, you've given reason to be investigated, okay, then they go get the evidence, they get the data, they go get a judge to sign off, and then guess what? You're charged with a crime. And guess what? You have a right to defend yourself. Under the system that we have now that we're developing into, they're just going to send a drone out and blow you away.
I think that's outrageous. That's outrageous,
I can't defend that. Then the megadata
then let's mothball. Then I'm in agreement with you. Then let's mothball the whole thing, because if they spy on me and I say George Bush is an asshole and they blow me off the earth, then I agree with you.
Well, no,
okay,
Bill's
fine.
Right, Gary. Today we can laugh about that and joke.
I'm not going to argue with you.
You may be right.
But 10 years
from now, that could get you killed. If we allow it to keep growing.
You could be right, and if that's the truth, then I am totally a dunce.
Okay,
and
that's just
very
how I feel. I'm not saying I'm right, but that's how I feel based upon my knowledge of history and my distrust.
I don't feel strongly on my position. I honestly don't. I don't feel strongly on it, so I will advocate to the panel because I don't feel like defending it because it's indefensible.
No,
my position is indefensible.
I do agree with the point.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm looking at the clock, and we're at the end of the 15th round.
Well done.
So, yeah, I want to go once around the panel to get everyone's parting thoughts. Bill, you've just witnessed a fight. Give us your parting thoughts.
I'm not sure why Gary comes back every week at this point. But no, this is great that we have this ability to share these ideas and to be able to come up with differences of opinion that actually challenge us, that, you know, I'm not the same person I am at the end of the show. And it's I really enjoy all this bantering and intelligent discussion. Thank you all.
And Gary, you want to lunge out?
Oh no! I you know what? It's one of those things where you take a position that you don't so strongly have, and then you're like sitting there getting pummeled by it. So I actually give myself the loss today. So I think the panel was much smarter. I think the panel was much smarter than I was today, and which is fine, which is great and good. And so I'll lick my wounds till next week.
Sam,
Gary, I hope you're coming back every Sunday. I love this, and I hope someday I get out to California and have a glass of wine with you, and you can really have some more fun.
Nice.
So, if you don't drink wine, then we'll have a beer or martini, whatever it may be. What I love about this show is the diversity, the never a dull moment. And Gary, I may not agree with you on anything. I might agree with you on everything, on vice versa, and Bill and Simon and Peter and others that we've had on. But I respect your where you're coming from, and I will defend that right to the best of my ability for you to say and think and do whatever you want, as long as you're not stepping on someone's toes.
Nice. Well said.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking part. And we will be back next Sunday. Same bat channel, same bat time. Until then, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and healthy and safe week. Till next time, goodbye.